Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about the surprising thing about Susan. Now, if I told you right away, there wouldn't be any surprise. So we're going to build up layers of a backstory first, and then we'll reveal the surprise. So the story actually begins initially where I met her, but obviously the backstories go much, much further back for the element of surprise, I suppose. So I met her yesterday, the 9th of December, at a local old ex-soldiers club, and we're having a remembrance ceremony or just a get-together to remember someone who was in the club, and as old soldiers do, they eventually do die, but we're having a memorial, not service, but sort of ceremony and a few statements, a bit of chat about this old, who is now old, soldier called Paul Hanrahan, and he was a pretty special person, an old World War II veteran, and we'll talk about him a bit later on in the story as part of the backstory to see how that goes together. But Susan was there with her father, who is also a World War II veteran, just looking after him, and generally part of the community and supporting the old soldiers, and there's sort of a network of communities, historical societies, legacy, which looks after the families of soldiers and the war widows, Rotary, which is more, there's a whole network, ecosystem of organisations there, all, everyone's a member of perhaps, you know, one or two, so it's all interlinked and cross-linked, and so Paul Hanrahan was a particularly influential person, so we know why Susan was there. And the reason I was there was being a member of the old soldiers organisation. I was just there more as a low profile in the background, just to help if the organisation, if anything, needed to be lifted or put around the place, just in the background trying to keep a relatively low profile. So we're just sort of there in the background, meeting by chance. And so the toast to Paul, old discussions and things like that, and there was beer and chips, and I began to hear about Susan. She told her about herself, and she was a former radio journalist, and then perfected that, got into the radio community, which essentially is the podcast community now, and being able to cut through, and then she ran her own company for 25 years, consulting to different companies who wanted to have radio presence or wanted to solve issues in their radio space. So she was a great enthusiast of the radio medium, and I would assume also the podcast medium. And as you've heard over the year, I've just been podcasting away, improving, experimenting, getting software up, you know, labouring apart, and essentially walking it in the place, sort of the flagship thing is this reverse podcast. You don't hear it, but the commuters go at it and cut it up and repaste it together to be a series of radio programs. So one podcast goes into a trailer, a radio program you'd listen to the car, and one in the classroom, one for private study, the same information going in. Of course, I've been looking at the technical stuff and sort of, so I suppose if I had a beard, I'd be, a little goatee, I'd be stroking my goatee. I don't have one, but thinking, look, I really need to get in contact with someone like Susan. I obviously wouldn't, you know, it's not the time or place to mention all about it, but to sort of flag it on the way up. And because essentially I've done my sort of little dash getting the, firstly enjoying it, being able to produce things fairly quickly and then get the maximum rehab value out of it. But there's a stage where I've got to find people who want to produce content, people who can produce the content, and then just use this engine to disseminate and go out. So Susan was a very interesting person to speak to. So that's as much as I'm going to tell you about her backstory that I know at the moment. I think, I suppose the next person we'd chat about is Paul Hangraham. And he's someone we discussed and reflected, and Susan identified me as a deep analytical person in the same sort of mode of operation as Paul. So Paul returned from World War II, pursued, I suppose, an academic career, but started up publishing a local paper newsletter in the Newtown area. So I'm just going off my memory on this, and then started publishing newsletters for Rotary. So Rotary's a benevolent community organisation which seeks to just work together and improve relations, you know, that they may assist. Say if there's a disaster overseas, or there's a community project that needs some work, or there's community presence, they'll work in. I don't know if there's a... Oh, there's an international Rotary. So there's Rotary in all these different countries. But after World War II, publishing a magazine was a big innovation. So he used his skill and time to pull it around for a couple of years. Then it made a little bit of money. And then Rotary said, oh, makes money, it's not a burden, we'll take it on. And so it's grown in Rotary to 31 countries and 22 languages, this idea of going across. But Paul didn't stop there. He worked with Legacy, which is sort of making a social connection, a social network and support for war widows and children. So the soldier mightn't return. And this is even after World War II, after the conflict, they may, certain years, number of years after the conflict, they sort of suffer and fall over. A Legacy will also look after you. So the Legacy is a very focused organisation. The Return Service League, it's going to be mind-boggling. The Return Service League is more an old soldiers network. It's sort of respectful of the sort of military traditions and ceremonies and stuff like that, but it itself doesn't espouse any sort of political militaristic view. It's more a community organisation to look after the sort of social welfare of soldiers, and also looking to two ceremonies, 2 days a year, and that's Remembrance Day and our Anzac Day, which is a sort of a military holiday. Incredibly in Australia, I don't know if there's something that corresponds to that in overseas, and also to support tradition and education in schools, but just in a quiet way. So there'll be buying of books for schools and small scholarships for school students and stuff like that. So that's the stuff like that. So Paul Hangraham was awarded an Order of Australia, but he didn't want it. And in fact, his funeral was just a quiet funeral because he was really a deep worker and worked over many, many years and was key and chair persons in these community organisations like Legacy and Rotary, just organising it, providing guidance to it, but never going into the limelight. And his projects lasted many, many years, in fact, in a whole lifetime, just to get it up. And the observation there that Susan had was that compared to a radio journalist or some other professions which have to actually cover a large amount of topics No, completely. Within a very short time frame, you've got two different types of people contributing to society. Your generalists in your quick turnaround, and they require a high profile so that people know what they're doing. And then you've got the more analytical people who will take on a problem and slowly work away with it. Similar to the way that I'm doing this. I've got an overall problem. I want to do podcasting. I'm similarly just working away, slowly solving the problems, and it's something you invest in a lot of time. And maybe you may be lonely, the only person flying the flag, but you will just slowly put along and slowly move solutions together and achieve a sort of a deep social goal. So you've got these sort of two components, hopefully working, which have sort of, if you like, a fiber, a horizontal fiber, for people who can do many topics, a depth fiber, people who work just behind the scenes in these organisations or at a particular project, and develop a strategic. So the horizontal people, the quick turnaround people, are strategically agile and can actually look at strategies as they've evolved and coming up to put them in at the final stage. Whereas the vertical people, the deep thread people, they're not as it's not necessarily advantageous to stand up there and be noticed, and the threads don't necessarily come together in either case, and you have to just work slowly away at it. Now, my little backstory is that, and I don't think I've told Susan this, but I'm quite literally someone plucked out of, I suppose, the scrap heap. And I've had a little rocket engine, oh, rocket engine, a rocket part, an aeronautical part, put in my heart to rip out the doggy stuff, which is going to send you to the grave. Well, I suppose, easily been dead about 12 months ago. But let's not dwell on that. But it is a true aeronautical miracle that these shutter valves first made a dramatic entry onto the world stage in the V1 buzz bomb. The buzz will be the shutters closing, so my shutter doesn't close at this so many times a second. It closes roughly, well, a bit, well, if you had to really pace it, twice a second, between 1 and 2 times a second, it just clicks, not like a buzz bomb, but it's essentially that. The intake of a V1 rocket has these shutters where the explosion gas moves forward, and it shutters closed, making sure that the exploding gas goes out of the flying bomb. Now, of course, this would be a nightmare. These flying bombs were designed to last 20 minutes, 30 minutes, however long it took to actually fly their distance. And so it took another piece of aeronautical engineering, and this is the tip of re-entry cones of missiles and rockets. You can't always afford to have a very heavy set of tiles. There's this new material that they found called isotropic carbon. It's a special sort of diamond-like material, fantastic properties, and they've sort of put those two, one aeronautical thing together with another aeronautical things together, and made a little, like a little model airplane shutter valve. But they've coated it with this marvelous material, and it lasts a staggering. They're really trying to work out how to pin it down, but the view is that it'll last some 10 million years, and so. In a certain sense, this is sort of, oh, this is a bit phenomenal. Oh, I'll take that. That's really good. Let's move along. And then, in essence, if there was a Peter 1.0, put it in the recycle bin, turn it to be cleared away at a certain point in time, I'm suddenly Peter 2.0 going around in this long fiber way, strategically working away and building sort of. Like there are many points, you know, your fibre doesn't come together like that. Your finger comes together in little bits and pieces, and so you know that you're looking for people like Susan. Susan's experience, not directly of her, but she'll be able to point you in the right direction. Who's in the vibe? Because you're just out in the suburbs working on computers. There's a whole series of things. In fact, I write down a list of things to ensure that they check right. So this is on the production side, on the actual software side of keeping that under control, trying to work out, you know, where things are going. Sometimes I can't believe how well it's working, so I have to go back and check it. So what actually happens is I put it up, and it takes a fair while for the whole thing to upload. Sometimes it uploads so fast I can't believe it. Sometimes it takes a long time, and you really have to get in and check it. So I'm focusing on that, but I've got one eye up above, out of the shed with the machinery, sort of thinking about, oh, who's going to drive this? Who's going to produce podcasts? Who's going to create them? How they're going to go in? I sort of know it's the right way. I've got sort of a bit of a solution. So it's very interesting speaking to Susan. So you've got two threads there. That one is from the ceremony, the reflection, the point of reflection. You sort of say, this is an interesting life, how does it fit in? And it's not necessarily judgmental, but sort of you just say, get a deeper appreciation. This is one of the, I suppose, the values of these things, of actually not sitting in the evening news and waiting for the news to tell you how to think. You go and think there. That there's that aspect, the broad and the long haul people, and especially in that environment, Susan was able to say, "Oh, you're looking at the strategies and stuff like that, so a long haul stuff." There's that, and also the serendipity of someone who needs help with radio production, and someone who's had help with radio production, but more that has identified industries and understand the need and the power of radio. It's hard to say if you're a vet and you hate animals, you're not going to treat them differently, or you're a mechanic and you think it's far better walking. You need that combination of the know-how to know the psychology, the problem, and actually be a true believer. So we've got the Overlink lap of being true believers in the radio form, the podcast form, as being an elegant and respectful intellectual intrusion, as opposed to the other end where people want immersive experiences. I think there is room for immersive experiences, but you want to have, from this understanding, you want to have immersive experiences with a lifeline where you can actually draw people out, set them together, and you want immersive experience where they're immersed, but socially immersed as well. There's a whole series of things that you want to achieve. Podcasts radio has a certain low production cost, but it's also gives the information, but uses people's imagination and ability to do things. So you've got those two things to go. Now, as I promised, there would be a surprise about Susan. And Susan, obviously, having the idea of, you know, lots of things coming across her desk, lots of issues, lots of people trying to get attention, lots of strategies coming and going almost by the hour. So the surprise about Susan is that Susan's the Blue Mountains Federal Member of Parliament. And that's a bit of a surprise, and I sort of knew her, but I sort of mistook her for someone else. So that is actually a bit of a surprise, and it sort of all fits together. And again, you sort of, I don't know, rather than, there's sort of two ways to go about life. You can actually plan for goodness and make sure that something actually fits, or you can actually rock up, see it, and actually pick out the goodness of the the benefit of the situation. So the benefit of this remembrance service for Paul is that we've got to consider Paul in a coherent way, all the different threads going together, get a feeling for it. Then it had the advantage of different groups getting together, and of course an equalization, communication. So that was a great thing. And then, I suppose this is my insight, there's a bit of advantage in Parliament. Parliament's a deep, if for Lord, system. In fact, I myself can't actually spot... Well, I can sort of spot a few flaws in that. There's so much people, everyone's their leader, and everyone's suddenly shouting at them, saying, this way, it's really impossible to think, impossible to deal with the chaos. However, there is one advantage, is that the way that we have Parliament is that we have ordinary people from different walks of life being sucked into the system, and as opposed to what you could call a purely professional politician, you have these people with these fantastic life experiences brought in. So rather than actually have to present to Parliament and convince someone of the value of radio, which is basically an impossible thing to do, how can you convince someone who hasn't been, walked the talk and had the experience, the value of a particular stuff? You sort of would be orbiting in mad space. And this is the great advantage, is that we have doctors, engineers, ordinary people, mums, single mums, or the greater variety of people who come in there, a few academics and stuff like that coming in, a few farmers, and that's what a powerful thing, that you have an organisation which is aimed to do things, but you've got that experience sort of prepackaged to go in there. So that's the surprise about Susan. She's a Member of Parliament. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.